I had somebody. I got integrity. I got character. In other words, I care how I act while I'm going through. Character. Come on and say hallelujah. And so I go through my troubles and I go through my trials, but I get strengthened. I get strong. Amen. I go through all of this stuff, but when I go through, I don't complain because I got patience. I got good character. I got integrity. So when I go through all this stuff, I can really sing Marvin Sapp.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Well, this is Mission Sunday, and we see our missionaries all dressed out today, and we're here. Sister Juanita Hitchens was unable to be with her. Her father-in-law passed on, her stepfather passed on last night, and certainly we wanted to keep she and the family in prayer, but certainly wanted us to go on in the Spirit of the Lord and enjoy this time of celebration. And mission is so important to the Christian church. And back in the day, churches, especially of the Baptist denomination, would not complete their name without including missionary. And it was so that we would keep our focus, as God has commissioned us to be missionaries, and it's not just a missionary society, but for every believer to be a part of the mission spirit. And so whoever you are today, if you're born again and you are a believer, you need to realize and recognize that God has you scheduled to do your missionary duties. And all mission work is not in mission or on mission fields. It's everywhere the Spirit of the Lord gives us opportunity to do the work of the Lord. And so we are honored today to honor these who have taken the commitment and who do what God has assigned for them to do as a mission ministry. But we want to remind us afresh that all of us are missionaries. Matter of fact, won't you turn next to the person you're sitting to and say, neighbor, it's good to be sitting next to another missionary. I give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this privileged opportunity to hear you challenge us from your word, to give to us understanding, illumination, and revelation concerning your work, your mission. And God, we thank you that these who have committed their lives to the ministry of mission would be blessed in an extra special way, that you would anoint them and empower them to move, to flow, and to function the way you desire all of us to do. And so, God, we pray that you would receive the glory, and they the good, and those to whom you send them to and serve may be blessed because of their sacrifice. Now, God, again, we thank you for your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he is able to do. Let him tailor the text to meet us and reach us where we are. Then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say amen. God bless you. I want to call your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah, chapter 61. I want to commence at verse 1. Recorded are these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about a mission-minded focus. A mission-minded focus. One of the things that we will recognize, my brothers and sisters, as Isaiah pens this word, we recognize that he is speaking historically about Jesus Christ and his coming and his anointing and his appointment to minister in a mission-minded fashion, to do more than save. The saving of souls would be the end result of his work, but as a work, he would do so much more to bring the value of man's life to an apex of appreciation for what he brings to planet Earth. And it's important to recognize that while he is the one that Isaiah is speaking about, the spirit of this mission-minded focus on all believers doing their part as missionaries to whom God has given this great work to. Yes. When you recognize that as a child of God, there are things that we're going to deal with, there are things that we're going to have to adjust to, there are places we're going to have to go, people we're going to have to share the gospel with, that may not be people that we would normally and naturally associate or affiliate ourselves with, but you need to understand that it is a mission of mercy. Too many times believers like to pick and choose where they'll go and to whom they'll speak and what they'll give and what they'll do, when God has called us to share with some of the most unlikeliest folks, some of the most ungodliest folks, some of the folk that we would not normally share a good morning with. But the mission is to reach beyond ourselves and reach to the masses and remind them that God loves everybody. And because he loves everybody, the truth of the matter is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that all includes you, and that all includes me. So that means in God's sight, we're no better than the ones who are beneath us. One of the beauties of being a mission-minded, focused person is to never ever forget that what you are, where you are, what you have, and what you shall have has come at the price of Jesus giving his life for you. As a reminder of that, he wants us to be able to show that he loves everybody, and we are proof that he loves everybody, because if he could save us, then there's hope for anybody and everybody. Many times as humans, we are wounded, especially as believers, by the many different things that happen in our lives, from the many different people that we encounter in our lives. To be human is to be wounded. And so we need to understand we're talking about someone who understands wounds better than anybody. Sometime as you go through this life, you are wounded by parents. You're wounded by people who are supposed to be on your team and on your side. You are wounded by ungrateful children. You're wounded by cutting remarks that are made about the good that you try to do. You are wounded by colleagues clawing to get to the ladder of success and stepping on you without regard to your value or your worth. You're wounded by self and decisions and choices, et cetera, et cetera. To be human is to be wounded. You cannot escape it, because the truth of the matter is sometimes we wound ourselves greater than others will ever wound us. But when we look at this word, the Lord Jesus is the focal point of Isaiah's word. Look at what he says, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, as we begin this word, Isaiah is speaking as if it is the present tense, because what he sees at the time he sees it, it's revealed to him as though it were happening. Though he's speaking about something and someone that will come hundreds of years later, the anointing upon this writing is clear that he is focusing upon the Christ who has a missionary focus for all mankind. Look at what he says, and look at what he does again. He said, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings, glad news, good news, a joyous word, an exciting word, a word that inspires. Listen, you've got to be anointed by God to reach down in the deep, dark recesses of man's hurt and his wounds and his heart and preach a word that can pick him up from the muck and the mire and lift him up to a place where there is hope. There must be an anointing to reach beyond the layers of distrust, the layers of circumstances and situation, the layers of disappointments and all of the things that he's encountered in life, and reach to the very core of his heart, where he knows that there is a God, and there is a God that loves him. And so he said, I've been anointed to preach this kind of word. But then he goes on and he says this, he had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That means that he is certified to bless and bind up those who have heart issues. And I don't care what kind of heart issues they are, all of us have had or do have or will have heart issues. But Jesus can bind up whatever heart issue you have had, you do have, or you shall ever have, because he's certified to do so. Look again, I want you to understand something. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Liberty to captives. Look at again the difference here and how Jesus goes the difference, while he has the liberty to preach to those who have no liberty. And then he takes it a step further to those who are behind prison bars. And lest you think that that's only about inmates in Parrish Prison, Angola, Hunts, or D.C., or any of these other correctional facilities or prisons, he's not just talking about those. He's talking about those who in the prison of their minds, those who are bound by satanic captivity, and those who are put in a place where they don't have the liberty nor the freedom to come out, to move, to flow, and to function the way God wants them to. He has the ability to go and preach that kind of liberty to those who are captive. What it literally means is he's on a missionary journey to meet everybody who's in a mind prison, situational prison, any other prison that hinders and binds them from being or doing what God has desired and designed them to be and do, to let them know he has the ability to set them free. You see, drugs have, you know, marred the minds of great men, alcoholism, perversions, and so forth and so on. All of these are people who are in captivity. Amen. Relationships that are not godly and that are not right hold you in captivity. Some of you on your jobs are held in captivity, not functioning, not flowing, are not in the place that God has called and ordained you to be in. Captivity. All of the arenas of captivity, Jesus Christ has the ability to preach the liberty to those who are bound, so that you no longer have to stay in that place that he says you are free from. So when you look at this word, my brothers and sisters, it makes me wonder sometime how many of us come in church Sunday after Sunday, and with the liberty of knowing that we can be free, we can be set free, we can be made free, we can be delivered, we walk in here bound and we walk out bound because we do not accept the message of the liberty that Jesus is able to set the captives free. May I remind you, Isaiah is talking to God's people. He's not talking to the world and those who are in the world, but he's talking to the people of God. So many times when joy does not flow in the house, it's because there are some folk whose minds are in captivity, whose hearts are in captivity, whose spirit are in captivity. And so while you recognize that you ought to have a joy unspeakable, that you ought to have power to flow and function, to call those things that be not as though they were, to speak, and whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven, loose on earth, all of those realities, yet you sit here in captivity. Came say amen. Unless somebody say amen. Not free to just bear witness to the truth and know that God is speaking to me and God has the power. I may have come in here bound, but I don't have to leave here bound. I may have come in here messed up, but I can leave here straightened out. I have the power and the ability to receive the liberty that Jesus Christ offers. Look, if you will, my brothers and sisters. Verse 2 goes on to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Three things there. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which means today is your day. Somebody didn't get that. I said today is your day. You ain't got to wait till some other day comes because of what Jesus offers to you today. Whatever your issues are, whatever your situation is, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We've got to make up our minds to rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Meaning that he brings salvation, he brings deliverance, he makes whole that's been broken. He blesses like he desires and has designed to bless the people of God. Today is your day. Why keep putting off your healing when he said today? Why keep putting off your deliverance when he said today? Why keep putting off the blessings of the Lord upon your life when he said today? This is the year of our Lord, the acceptable year, meaning to accept him now while he is yet found. You seek him, call upon him while he is yet listening and hears you. and know that God is in control. But then he moves on and he says something else. He says, and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Do you know you need to let that thing that you're wrestling with and can't sleep at night alone and put it in God's hand and let him handle it? Too many believers get caught up and sucked into the devil's traps and tricks in trying to get over on folk who have hurt us, when all we do is add to the pain and the discomfort of constantly remembering and putting before us like a mirror the thing that we've been done wrong, when God wants us to cast our cares upon him, our hurts upon him, those who have hurt us upon him, because vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Some of you can't even worship in the same church because somebody done rubbed you the wrong way. Now, if we can't worship down here together, how are we going to sing hallelujah up in heaven together? You got ought against your brother, you do something about it. But you don't sit here and let the devil torment you. You give it to God, release it, go to your brother, your sister, say, hey, you've offended me. Do whatever it takes. But know that if you hold that kind of negativity in your heart, then you're going to have to not only deal with them, but you're going to have to deal with God, who told you to put them in his hand and let it be. Look at what he says. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I what? Will repay. If God's going to repay and you put it in his hand, do you need to be sitting there watching for him to do it? Is he not faithful? You can go on and fill your mind, your thoughts, your day with meaningful, productive activity because you can trust God to do what he said. In other words, he's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your sides. He's above you, beneath you. He fills every space there is. You ain't got to worry about God's faithfulness. And then notice what he says lastly in verse 2. To comfort all that mourn. And as I bring this message to a close and the focal point here for many of us yet today, to do our jobs as we have been comforted with all comfort is to comfort those who are discomforted. To put ourselves in a place where we are used of God to bring comfort to others who may not know the comfort of God otherwise. To be the vessel, to be the instrument, to share with others what God has shared with us. When we were discomforted, when we were hollow and vain and void, filled our insides, and we knew what hopeless days were like, and God comforted us, who better than us to comfort somebody who's been where we used to be, or who is where we used to be? And we've been there, we've done that, so we, more than anyone, can comfort all who mourn, which means we don't pick and choose who we comfort. Because if we got to comfort everybody, you might as well start with what's closest to you. Start right here. We want to start comforting folk in foreign lands. That's a wonderful thing to do. But why go to the foreign lands when you skip over all of the folk you got to get to get there who needs comforting? That's why we have a home mission and a foreign mission. There is an adage that says charity begins at home and spreads abroad. And so when we see the word says, and comfort all, look again, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion was a reference that related to God and those who belonged to God. It says, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now listen to this. He starts off with saying, listen, I want you to comfort everybody. And that has to do with spiritual implications. You comfort folk with the word of God. You don't comfort them with your feelings and with your emotions. And child, if I were you, I would do this. No, it ain't about you, boo. It's about God. It's His word. It's what He said, because we are individuals with individual personalities. We are different. We think different. We do things different. But God says it isn't but one way, and that's my way. And all of us and all of our differences are mandated to bend and blend our will with God's will. That's why we can be on one accord if it's God's will. Because all of us have to bend and blend our personalities, our desires, our activities, our ambitions, all of that to meet what God has lifted as a standard. And then we'll be able to have the mind that was in Christ be in us also, and thereby accomplishing the things that Christ accomplished on this earth in His ministry, being the greatest missionary man will ever know. Jesus said it best, I came to seek and to save that which were lost. And He told us, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And He made it clear that He wanted us to seek the lost sheep of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, many times it begins with comforting people. If you comfort folk, then when they get past all of the dark, deep issues of their lives, they can see the light of hope in Jesus Christ when you bring comfort to them. And then when they accept Jesus, because they see Him now in a new way, because you've brought Him close and made Him personal, then look at what He says again, what happened in verse 3. He'll give them an ornament of beauty instead of ashes. In other words, what He'll do is He'll turn their situations around. The ashes represented deep sorrow, pain, and those things that came about as a result of either sin or situations where tests and trials were great and severe. And so when the ashes were there, it represented the lowest estate of that person. And He says, when He comes, He says that He has the power and the authority to take their garments that many times while they sat in ashes, and many times they put the ashes on their garment. So anybody who would see them would know they're in great mourning. He says, I will take that garment and give you garments of ornaments of joy and greatness and gladness, so that you can take off your mourning clothes and put on your celebration clothes. Some of you have been having on your mourning clothes a little too long. You need to know God wants to put a robe of celebration upon you. And every time folks see you, it ought not be with a sad face and a downtrodden countenance. It ought to be something that says, I am a child of God, and God heard my prayer and answered my prayer and lifted me up out of the ashes and gave me glory garments. You know what glory garments are? They're the garments that you shout glory in, that you rejoice and celebrate in. They are happy garments. They are lively garments. They look like a party is going on garments. Garments with ashes were dark garments, dull garments, garments that said something's wrong. And that's why many times in our mourning, we wear dark colors and dark glasses, have dark thoughts and dark feelings, and it's just too much darkness. And He wants to bring light. That's why when He walked in and Mary and Martha were still having their issues, here He was, light, life, celebration. And they looked at Him because they had on their mourning clothes. Not M-O-R-N, M-O-U-R-N. And He said, if you just been here, we wouldn't have to have these mourning clothes on. He said, don't worry about it. Just show me where you live. Well, you don't understand, Jesus. He'd been dead 4 days and His body is starting to stink. If you would have come when we called you. You know how folk like to put you. Because it's an emergency for them. They expected to be an emergency for you. But there were no emergencies for Jesus when he had the power not just to turn back the hands of time, but turn back the works of the enemy who worked in time. So Jesus wanted Lazarus to die to prove a point that he was who God said he was.